Good morning. I hope you're having a fine Sunday morning. Welcome back to another edition of Miami Valley Voices on this Cox radio station. I'm your host from the Dayton Daily News, Ron Rollins, and we're here to talk about art today. One of my favorite things to talk about on the show. We have two of the curators from the Dayton Art Institute, Amy Marcereau DeGallen and Catherine Sigworth. How you doing?
Great. Good morning.
Good to be here.
Happy to have you back. Regular listeners will know that Amy's here couple times a year, maybe three, to talk about the special exhibitions get installed downstairs in the big, beautiful space at the museum. And we had Grandma Moses last time.
We did.
How'd that turn out? Did it?
You know, it was one of those sleeper hits. And I think that
Yeah.
I know. But we were really happy with the numbers that we got and excited that it presented her in a new framework.
That's cool. And that was a show that, to remind people, that you curated and
we came up with the idea ourselves, right, and presented it. And it was the first time that anyone's ever looked at her in that way. Right. So we were really excited about it.
That was a really neat show. And then before that, you were here to talk about the military posters, I think. World War One and World War II propaganda posters. Mm-hmm. Another cool show. So this one is, fair to say, completely different from either of those. And it's called Into the Ether. Tell us about it. Describe it.
Well, it's definitely a 180-degree turn from last season. And so this marks the inaugural exhibition in our Year of the Classical Elements.
And remind people.
Like last year, which was all about American art, mm-hmm, this year is revolving around the theme of the classical elements. So earth, wind, fire, air, water, mm-hmm, and then that fifth element, ether, mm-hmm, which is what this exhibition is really about.
Cool. It's also a really bad Bruce Willis movie from the early 90s, I think. But the fifth element.
Oh, the fifth element.
Yeah, right, sorry.
That's not a horrible movie.
No.
It's an okay movie. It's okay. And so, those were like back in Renaissance, medieval period, ancient times, those were what philosophers believed were what composed the universe.
Yeah, you can find those within Euclidean geometry, Aristotle, even Hinduism. Right. All walks of life considered it the five elements that comprise the universe.
And they were wrong.
Well, maybe.
No, I mean, but
so ether scientifically, I think the jury's still out, but I think 2 months ago they just heard sound waves of two black holes crashing. So you never know.
That's true. That's true. So how relate that to the show? Describe the show.
So we're using ether in a more philosophical sense, which is about this in-between space that connects everyone but also separates us. Mm-hmm. So kind of like a threshold. It's neither the other room nor this room, mm-hmm, but it's at the same time both spaces. Mm-hmm. So we're using ether to discuss how these artworks kind of blur the boundary between themselves and you. And you at one point are looking at the works, and at other points you become the works.
And we should tell people that, which sounds very abstract until you see the stuff.
Right.
So it's basically a light show.
It's a contemporary light artist. And I think that key element of ether, even though scientifically, as we mentioned, the jury's still out, scientifically it was considered a space that allowed for the propagation of light. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of connecting two abstract ideas, philosophically and scientifically, to talk about this work that really is very immersive. And so many of the pieces just envelop you when you go into the space where they are. Some of them require you completely because you become the content of the work. Mm-hmm. But it's really this blurring of boundaries. And it's not like a traditional painting exhibition. When you go into the space, you look at the work, and you go on to the next painting.
Right.
These pieces fill the entire space.
And there's not that many of them. There's only 10 pieces? Okay.
And it should be mentioned that while the theme is around this classical theory, all of the works were made in the 21st century.
Right. No, they're all very, very contemporary.
Yes.
Right. So, I mean, you're kind of mixing together a number of abstract ideas into something that, when you're walking through the show, you don't need to necessarily need to know about the idea of ether to appreciate and interact with the pieces. It helps. I mean,
it's
interesting.
But give
an example of the interactivity with one of the pieces.
Well, so you could have a doctorate in philosophy and go crazy with this, but you could also be a 5-year-old and just love it.
That's what I was hoping you'd say.
Yeah. So, and in this town with so many science people, there's multiple ways to engage with these works. Some are static lights that create an atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Other works.
There's the one or two that kind of seem to fall out of off the wall, but you have to...
Oh, the holograms.
Yes, the holograms, but you can only see them from a certain, like from right in front of them, and as soon as you move, they're gone.
They change. They change, so, yeah. And then that will change for every viewer based on their own eyesight or their height, where they actually can see the work.
Okay,
so it's all about their perception of the pieces.
So the piece is different for everybody. Yes. To your point about a traditional Grandma Moses looks the same in this frame to everybody, these are different artworks for each viewer, pretty
much. Yeah, they're
much.
Heavily contingent on your interaction
that's
with
really,
them.
That's
and
really
because, and this was really interesting, too, in looking and talking to people who've seen, had a sneak peek, it really depends on your eyesight, too. And some people have noticed that they have issues with their peripheral vision because they can't see some of the things coming from the side. Or,
that's interesting.
And it depends on your height, as we mentioned, as you approach these holograms.
Right.
So I think one of the key things that we haven't yet said is that two of the artists in the exhibition were really pioneers in what was called the Light and Space Movement, which was a West Coast-based, loosely affiliated group of artists who were working with light. They really don't call them the pieces that they make objects. They're really against that idea of it being
well, they're not.
Work.
They're not objects, really.
They're, no. Yeah, yeah. They're,
I mean, the way a sculpture is an object, they're not.
Yeah, these are experiences.
Right. These are experiences.
Right.
And two of the artists, Robert Irwin, who's 87 years old, still going strong, making work.
He's one of the 10?
He's one of the 10.
Are there 10 artists? Is each artist with one piece? Or
six
are there...
artists, okay, a couple 10 have multiple pieces.
Okay.
So Robert Irwin's piece is the vertical fluorescent tubes that is 15 feet long,
right.
Or 15 feet wide, rather.
Very cool, and the light kind of ripples up and down.
Yeah. he was one of these pioneers working in the 1960s, and... looking at light, he started out as an abstract expressionist painter. And he kept thinking that people were reading into the gestures he was making on the canvas, that people were inventing subjects. They thought, oh, I see a cloud, or I see a, you know, the narrative. And he just didn't want that to be part of the work.
I know how that goes. Yeah.
So he just got, he just started reducing. And so the abstract expressionist vigorous brushwork became lines, became dots, became getting rid of the frame. And then he just reduced it down to the essence of something in light.
That's really cool.
And another artist, James Terrell, that has the holograms, I think is really interesting because he was dealing with perceptual psychology and sensory deprivation.
Which I can see. But now in the case of the fluorescent tubes, that is something that both is an object and isn't. I mean, it is an object. You could turn the lights off and you could still see the thing, and it would look like a sculpture of a sort, you know, a minimalist sculpture of a kind. With the lights on, though, it changes it, transforms it into something completely different.
Right, and not all the lights are on. So with any artwork in a museum, we have tombstones where we list the media. So a painting would be oil on canvas. Rather than saying fluorescent tubes or with gel, Robert Irwin lists the medium for this piece as light, shadow, rhythm, and something in reflection.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's really trying to tell us it's not the object of the fluorescent tubes, but how the light is interacting and reflecting off the ones that aren't on and how that fills the space.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like it's a vessel for his idea.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a perfect way to describe it.
And a couple of tell people on the anybody who sees the card or the advertising card for the or the marketing pieces for the exhibit sees the giant room with
the
strings of the it's the red room. It's you walk into one of the side rooms off the gallery and there's how many wires?
That's a great question.
A couple hundred at least of these floor to ceiling wires with tiny red dots of light that feels, the room is very red, but it pulsates. It's very strange. Who's the artist?
So the artist is Erwin Redl.
Okay.
He's originally from Austria, but we're fortunate enough to have him here in Ohio. He currently lives in Bowling Green.
Oh, cool.
And he will actually be giving a lecture.
Certainly a hotbed of abstract thinking and art. Yeah. Sorry.
He's a pioneer. He's actually giving an artist talk on April 28th,
so
people can come and hear more about his works.
Okay.
But that's a great immersive space.
It is.
Where the grid of red LED lights will start to play tricks on you the longer you spend time in there.
I was in there a little too long just because it's transfixing, and you almost kind of feel a little drunk after a moment.
It is disorienting.
Your head kind of woozy, and it was very, and it surprised me because it didn't happen right away, and when it did, it happened really fast. And I was like, I have to get out of here. I mean, I want to go back, and I'm enjoying what I'm seeing, but it's creating a sensation. Mm-hmm. It was really bizarre.
Well, and so the lights aren't static. He actually creates a program in it, hence the name of the piece Fade, where the lights do change intensity, but it is subtle enough that you can't quite figure out what's happening.
Right, right. What do you think his thinking was? What was his idea?
I think he's really re-energizing a space. You know, we have... This is our special exhibition space. Mm-hmm. It's the same room in many regards, but what his work does is completely change how we respond and interact within that area.
And he came out, he sent his prep assistant out a few weeks in advance, and they had custom fit and designed that piece for that space.
Oh, really?
So we had to give down to the millimeter measurements, and they custom fit the track and the floor and in the ceiling so that it would be a seamless installation within the room.
Wow, that's cool. We should tell people we're with Amy Marcero de Gallen and Catherine Sigworth from the Dayton Art Institute, talking about Into the Ether, an exhibition of contemporary light artists. Just opened up April 2nd and goes to June 26th. And you should check it out. It's really cool. How did you pick the artists? So there's a lot of light artists. As you mentioned, there's an entire movement. You know, why these six? How'd you find them? Explain the history of the show.
You know, we, first of all, I think just the idea of the elements, looking at the elements, we were thinking about the elements in general. It's embarrassing, but true. We were thinking
the band. I can't wait to hear what you're going to say next.
You know, we sit around and we have these conversations about, you know, what can we do for a season that could hang together and be cohesive.
Can I come to one of those sometimes?
I would love that. You can. But then when I'm about to tell you, you might think, oh, it's not that in-depth conversation, okay. Heady scholarship. Earth, Wind, and Fire. The band came to the phrase.
That's right.
Like last summer, maybe, before then.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I know a song by Earth, Wind, and Fire, but I certainly know the band. Maybe if I heard a song played, I don't. But
I could sing several for you now, but I won't.
Let's hear it. So aside from that, we thought in all seriousness, you know, maybe this is something worth exploring thematically to look at the elements.
Sure.
And we kind of went from there, and we were thinking initially, I think, light and fire.
We're thinking fire and air as the show, and then struggling with that ether concept, which is how we ended up with these types of artists rather than, say, Dan Flavin, who is also working with light, but for a very different purpose.
Mm-hmm. I think then we knew about an exhibition at the Hayward Gallery in London that we just fell in love with, and it was called The Light Show, and it was just exploding in London. And we looked at that checklist to see, you know, well, who are they including in their exhibition? We looked at some of the work in there. We actually thought about even trying to get that show here. It was over $1 million.
Yep.
And so we thought, okay, you know what? We can do
right,
this.
Right.
And then just talking, we talked to Tess Cortez at Wright State. She introduced us to Diane Willow, who's also in the show.
And I need to have her on soon because the transformation at the galleries is late fall? I guess it's going to be all done by the time the school year starts, she said yesterday.
I think it opens at the end of April.
Yeah. It's going to be
a soft opening.
Okay. In time for the Arts Gala, which is coming up.
Right.
But then there's still going to be stuff to do. But they're going to end up with like 5 or 6 galleries there or something like that. But
it's going to be big.
Oh, I interrupted. You contacted Tess, who's a video artist.
Tess knew one of the artists, Diane Willow, and she said, you've got to really check out her work. So we did, brought Diane in. Erwin Rettle actually has a piece at Wright State, and so we went over there and heard him give a talk in conjunction with the new piece in the engineering building.
Okay.
So he was good. One of the artists, Danny Rosen, whose pieces actually are the ones that require you as the person to come into the space and become the content.
Mm-hmm.
I went out to New York to see his work and fell in love with it, but also he's the artist who's doing the penguins that are coming here this summer.
We do want to talk about some of the other stuff that's coming.
Yeah.
The piece you just mentioned that you had to be inside, it's a giant, that's the giant screen with the white dots.
Yes.
There's like a bajillion white little pixels.
It's called Snowmere.
It's fabulous.
It's 25 feet long. It's a piece of silk that's 25 feet long, and it's the largest installation he's ever done of that piece to date.
Excellent.
And
Where else but here?
Where else but Dayton, Ohio? Exactly. It's a piece that has a camera in front of it, and you move slowly in front of the camera and stand for 15, 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. And in front of you, you're facing this 25-foot-long screen of white pixels. Mm-hmm.
Which are just tiny. They're very tiny.
They look like snow.
Right, yeah.
Your image starts to materialize in front of you, mm-hmm. and it's great because you become one, you know, you are the content, and yeah. you can walk all the way around it and see it, and you can steal pixels from other people if they stand next to you. But it's attracted to the light, so yeah. if you've got shiny bracelet or jewelry or mm-hmm. a white shirt, it mm-hmm. definitely finds you right away.
So again, that's another piece that's going to be different for every person who sees
it. It's different for everybody. Right. It's amazing. I really am surprised how uncanny the likeness is. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can really tell who it is. There's no mistaking.
That's very cool.
Very specific.
That's bizarre. And again, what do you think his idea was that got him to that result?
He is an artist programmer. He started as an industrial design engineer. He's a professor at the NYU Tisch School, mm-hmm. and he's really influenced by the idea of mirrors mm-hmm. and how it's such a simple idea, and yet no two people looking in a mirror will achieve the same result. Mm-hmm. They won't see the same person the same way.
Right.
But he's also interested in the piece not having a content until you step into it mm-hmm. and you become the content. Again, there's no narrative or nothing. You are that mm-hmm. that content.
Well, but that's also
your subject and object.
Kind of what you said, though, makes the point that nobody sees anything the same way.
Right.
Right. I mean, we don't really think that. Because we think like, well, there's a red car, you know, and everyone sees the car, but not really. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe you're colorblind. Maybe you see it differently. Maybe it goes by too fast for you to see it. Maybe, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But we perceive things differently, but we assume everyone perceives things similarly to the way we do.
Right.
And that's a mistake. And this kind of, the whole exhibit kind of drives that point mm-hmm. very dramatically mm-hmm. home to you mm-hmm. in a way that's really cool. Mm-hmm. It makes you rethink everything you see, not just the thing you're looking at.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's really cool. Talk a little bit about I can't even describe in the last gallery, the Whirligig thing of the blue and red lights.
Twist and Turn.
Yeah, that's a great name, but I didn't know the name.
So that is also by Irwin Reddell.
Okay.
Once again, speaking on April 28th.
Right.
What he's done is installed four lasers up at the ceiling, two red, two blue, mm-hmm. which create, I guess, a cross or an X throughout the room. Mm-hmm. But the laser beams go through suspended plexi plates, mm-hmm. so plastic.
There's like 60 of them, right? Or something like that? Or?
At least, yeah. And as you walk into the space, the air currents that we create just by walking around shift how the plates are suspended, which then scatters the light across the room.
Oh, I imagine they're hanging loose?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't.
Mm-hmm. And they're not motorized, so it's...
I assumed they were motorized somehow, because it's dark in the room. You can't really see them. And they seemed to be turning together somehow, or in a way that struck me in the brief time I was in there as controlled somehow, but that's fascinating.
They're highly dependent on our movement and as well as our HVAC system,
okay.
Which does give it maybe a little bit more gusto.
Sure, sure.
But that's a piece that's heavily dependent on viewer interaction,
and it
will be different for every group that goes in based on how many air currents are created.
I had the sense of being... When you see like a model of an atom, like the mm-hmm. animation of an atom, mm-hmm. and you know there's the nucleus, and then there's like usually a sphere, and then the electrons race all around the sphere to hold the atom together. That's what it felt like. Mm-hmm. It felt like that must be what it would be to stand in the middle where the nucleus is and look out and see all these electric things mm-hmm. like buzzing around. Mm-hmm. And somebody said they looked like fireflies. I'm like, fireflies are different in your neighborhood. They're a lot faster at your house than they are. Because the light really moves quickly.
It's fascinating on a program, too, and so it changes. Mm-hmm. And he specified, all the galleries have seating in them, and he specifically wanted beanbags in that space mm-hmm. to be able to view it from a lower vantage point and look up at it and really...
And they're in the corners. Are people encouraged to bring those into the middle, or does it matter?
You can do... Yeah.
Whatever they'd like to do, for beanbag fights.
That'd be bad.
We'd discourage that.
Discourage beanbag fights. So you guys are just no fun at the Art Institute. We're here with Amy DeGallen and Catherine Sigworth, two of the curators at the Dayton Art Institute, talking about Into the Ether, the new show of contemporary light artists, open now through June 26th. And you can find out more at the website. What's next? You mentioned that Ether is one of several elemental shows or element-inspired shows.
What does this lead up to? We have three kind of pop-up installations. This entire year is contemporary 21st century art.
Ooh, yay.
Which is very exciting. Mm-hmm. That's the first time I think the museum has ever done that.
I guarantee it's the first time, yes.
So this summer are three pop-up installations. Yeah. One, as I mentioned, is by Danny Rosen, who did the snow mirror piece and the other mechanized mirror. Mm-hmm. It's 450 penguins who are going to come to Dayton, Ohio.
It's hard for them to live in the Antarctic now.
Yes.
We can welcome them to our shores.
They will occupy a space in the lower court in a gallery, and that show is related to the Antarctic Sublime, and they will respond to you, these penguins.
What are they made of?
They're plush penguins.
Oh, they're like okay.
The artist who has mechanized them and created a program in which they respond to you.
So it sounds like the Terracotta Warriors on a much different scale. Kind of lined up.
Yes,
yeah. A little fuzzier.
Right.
So all three exhibitions in the summer, all three installations revolve around the element of water.
Okay, that's cool.
The other two are, there is a monumental photograph by Berlin-based artist Frank Thiel, and it's of the Perito Moreno Glacier. It's the only glacier in the world that's growing. And it is an absolutely just
stunning
jaw-dropping.
By monumental, we mean?
Scale. It's 13 feet wide, I think, the photograph.
So
it's very sublime in terms of its presence. Mm-hmm. And then we will also have a digital waterfall projected that may be 13 feet tall.
Oh, that's cool.
Seems to be a magic number. By a Japanese group of ultra technologists who call themselves Team Lab.
Oh, that's neat.
And it is rendered in four times higher than a 3D rendering. And so it's this waterfall spilling out. And they were really influenced by how Japanese water is represented in woodblock prints in a sense of 2D versus 3D space.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be coupled with the selection of woodblock prints from our own collection that they are going to have a hand in selecting.
Of which you have a fair amount.
We have a great collection of woodblock prints.
Yeah, that's cool.
Collection.
That's really neat. And then what after that?
The fall show focuses on the element of earth, and so it is called Ravage Sublime, landscape photography in the 21st century.
Oh,
so it's
beautiful.
Two landscape artists, Edward Bertinsky and Richard Moss, who also use sublime imagery similar to 19th century photographers of these majestic vistas, but they have their works highlight environmental and political issues. So Bertinsky takes amazing photographs, but he follows the life of oil. So some images show tires in piles. Some are of nickel tailings.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Moss has traveled, I think, 8 times to the Congo, photographing this lush landscape, but with infrared film, which turns chloroform, which is what makes plants green. This film picks it up and turns it pink. So they're very surreal, lush pink landscapes.
Wow.
So it's a very different engagement with landscape photography.
That's very cool. And don't say anything else, because that way we can have you back for each of those. Yeah, and
it's tied into Photo Focus, though. We'll say that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And they're very excited about it.
That's very neat. So now, how do you two double team on work together on pulling these off? What part do each of you play?
This exhibition we're co-curating, and so we've done it all together.
Mm-hmm.
The summer suite I'm managing, and then Katie is curating the fall suite.
Okay. And Katie, you just got here a year ago? Year and a half? How long have you been
here? A year and a half.
Okay. And tell us where you came from.
I was in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Okay. That's right.
I was working at the Amon Carter Museum.
Aha. I've been to that museum. It's a really great museum. I've only been once, but it's a really, really good museum. And Amy, remind folks how long you've been here, where you came from?
I've been here 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. And I most immediately before coming to Dayton, I was in Vermont at the University of Vermont's Fleming Museum. Mm-hmm. And prior to that, I was in Cleveland at the Cleveland Museum of Art.
My favorite museum.
And then Detroit.
Yeah, okay.
At the Detroit Institute of Arts.
That's cool. I just got up last weekend to see the Van Gogh bedrooms in the Chicago Art Institute.
Yeah. I'm going to go see that next week.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a really neat show. And I'd forgotten that they have one. One mm-hmm. of the three is theirs. Mm-hmm. That was a small Chicago art plug, I guess. But the Chicago Art Institute is showing all three of our old bedrooms mm-hmm. that Van Gogh painted, and they're side by side in the same gallery, along with a lot of other stuff.
More Van Gogh's.
Plenty of other stuff. Yeah, most of them from their collection.
Yeah, and but it's
really
worthwhile.
A nice show. Oh yeah, actually, you know, as the culture has become, it was very encouraging to see a line around the block to get into the museum to see the Van Goghs. It made me very happy. It made me smile.
Good.
And it was very crowded. Mm-hmm. And I don't think just because it was Chicago, it was just really crowded. Mm-hmm. And so that was very encouraging.
Well, and our Monet is wrapping up its tour in London and about to come back.
That's right. And it was in Cleveland and then in London.
It was in Cleveland and then in London.
I saw it in Cleveland, yeah.
I forgot the visitor count per day, but it was just through the roof.
Yeah.
And over 100,000 people, I think.
Has it been
Couldn't
gone
be that day,
a year? That's not.
No, it will have been gone 6 months during its complete tenure, which means the Cezanne that we borrowed from Cleveland will be also going home soon too.
That's too bad because I like.
But we'll get our Monet.
I'm sure you will. I'd rather have the Monet than the Cezanne. That's really cool. In the hallways, outside of the special exhibitions, there was a show of photography
local
educators.
Well, and so the photography show closes today.
Oh, it does. Okay.
So after you hear this, run to the museum.
Okay. It's really a good show, yeah. We just have a minute or so left, but tell people it's local art teachers,
They are
art
all
teachers,
photographers
right?
who are also art educators.
Okay.
So we have a couple works by Bing Davis.
And Virginia Burroughs. Some
Virginia
familiar
Burroughs,
names, yeah.
Ron Gilbert.
Ron Gilbert, Jack
right.
Teamer,
right.
and...
All local.
Mm-hmm. I apologize
That's
to
okay.
the name I'm suddenly forgetting, but
That's
there's
right.
one other artist, and they're all great.
They're really beautiful photos, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I knew it was there, and was glad I got to see it before I left. It was a nice little surprise in the hallway outside.
Yeah.
So where can people go to find out more?
www.daytonartinstitute.org.
That's very cool. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
I appreciate it. Any parting thoughts on what you want people to get out of the show? What do you hope people will take away from the Ether show?
That art can be fun and you can come at it with whatever you got. You don't have to be an art historian. You can be a scientist who's never walked in a museum before, and you'll have a great experience.
That's I would agree. That's really cool. It is a stunning show. It really is. So.
And Katie and I are giving a tour. I should just add that we are
please.
Giving a special tour for Curatorial Conversations, May 19th at 6 p.m.
Oh, good. Okay.
So we'll walk people through, and then have a glass of champagne at the end.
And that and other art talks will be all on the website.
All on the website.
Okay. Excellent. Cool. We have been here with Catherine Sigworth and Amy Marceau de Gallen, the curator. At the Dayton Art Institute, talking about Into the Ether, the show of contemporary light artists, open now and up through June 26th at the museum. Go to the museum website to find out more. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
It's been fun. We'll see you for the next show. This has been Miami Valley Voices. Ron Rollins, your host. We'll see you next week. Thanks for coming in.